Just to pick up where we left off last night with the Mishnayos about the koi. The koi, again, is a very difficult species to define, and we're not exactly sure what kind of animal it is, which has led to a constellation of sveikos, of doubts, regarding whether we're dealing here with a domesticated animal, a behemoth, or an undomesticated animal, a chaya. So last night we saw that there are really many different implications of this. It has grave impact on the halachic system. So, for example, were it a chaya, we were talking about last night, it would require kisui hadam, right? That's the halacha of a chaya or an oaf. If it's a behemoth, domesticated animal, there is no kisui hadam. Now, what about on yantif, right? On yantif, obviously, you're allowed to do shchit on yantif on the raisa level because it's ochal nefesh. If you're dealing with something that's a behemoth, there's no kisui hadam. If you're dealing with a chaya or an oaf, there would be kisui hadam. You'd have to prepare the dirt before a yantif, but that's not going to work for a koi because, again, that only works if you're absolutely certain that you need to be doing this. Otherwise, it would be inappropriate to be engaging in that kind of activity on yantif. So the last halacha that we had seen is that since there's a safik that it's a behema, anybody remember, when you're dealing with Maiser Sheni, you bring up the money to Yerushalayim if you can't bring the food, and you buy food in the city of Yerushalayim. So what about meat? You're really only allowed to buy a behema if it's going to be offered as a karban, because that's considered an insult to the Mizbeach, to Yerushalayim. You're right there, and you can't bring the meat as a karban shlamim. So a koi would be inadmissible, because what's the problem? Why can't you just say, okay, so I'll bring the koi as a karban, so I want to have some koi meat. But again, what's the problem here? Who's following? You don't know. It might be a chaya, and you can't offer a chaya as a karban. So again, you're stuck with all of these things. So again, because of these sfeikos, we basically broke it down into two different categories. From a monetary standpoint, you don't have to surrender anything, because I'm motzi mechaver alav araya. But whenever iser is involved, whenever there's a possibility it might be violating something, since it's on a daraisa level, you have to be choshesh for a safek daraisa al-Khumra. Okay, so in that respect, this is a really unique institution within the halachic framework. So there's just a few more halachos that I wanted to finish up here. So the Mishnah talks about how is it not like a chaya or not like a behema. So there's a really interesting example the Mishnah brings about kilayim, about inappropriate mixtures. So behema, of course, can be mixed with a behema, and a chaya could be with a chaya. But here, since the koi is a suffik chaya, suffik behema, it doesn't have any natural mate. Right, because the only thing that you could theoretically mate it with, and even this would be a question, is to mate it with another koi, right? Because we'll assume that they're from the same species. But you couldn't take it with a behemoth, you couldn't take it with a chaya, because that could be a problem of kilayim. So again, that's another issue. Somebody who says that they're, write down in their will, let's say, that my behemoth and my chaya go to my children, so what about the koi? So here, the child would not necessarily inherit the koi, again, unless it was specifically stipulated, the koi, because hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, and that child doesn't have the right to say against the other possible inheritors that, it really was written over to me, because we're not clear what the status of the koi is. It could be a behema, it could be a chaya, it could be neither. So again, because that's a financial area, hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, there's no way that the child that was written to, that my behema goes to child X, my chaya goes to child Y, can say the koi definitely belongs to me. So then the Mishnah concludes by saying, "Uvishar hadrachim it's shave l'chayu l'behema." So, for example, shchita on a koi would not be any different. We know that it's a kosher animal; we just don't know if it's behema or chaya, so that's not impacted. So, shchita is one example where we treat it just like a chaya or behema. If a koi is dead, that's tumas nevela. Because remember, tumas nevela doesn't depend on something being a chaya or behema. Tumas nevela applies across the board. So, as long as it's dead, right? You can figure out whether it's dead or not. So then you can be certain that it has tumah. And the same thing is if a limb was severed from it, and people forget about this, but Eivar min ha-chai is metame as well. Right? So Eivar min ha-chai nevela, that's all consistent, really doesn't depend on it being a chai or a behema. So, one of the most interesting areas of halacha, again, is how we deal with safik. So just to conclude by reviewing the fundamental principles, safik d'oraisa l'chumra, anytime you're dealing with an isser, you have to be very machmir. If you're dealing with the possibility of an iser daraisa, safek derabanan lakula. If at most you're dealing with a rabbinic violation, you have the right to be lenient. And when it comes to monetary matters, hamotzi mechaveru alav araya, so any kind of a doubt is actually in favor of the one who is in possession. So from a monetary standpoint, The critical thing is to be in possession of the object, because the halacha does not sanction removing something from somebody's property unless you're actually certain. Ein safek motzi mide vaday. So possession here is a very critical thing. That's the way that we understand it. So to review that one last halacha that we saw yesterday, that was exactly the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Let's say Dr. Gertler goes up to somebody who shechts the koi, not in the context of kachim, right? Because he can't bring a korban, and he says, "Give me the zroa, the lechayim, and the keva. I'm the only kohen around." So because after all, it might be a behema. So the position of Rabbi Eliezer, which is considered the normative position, is he can turn around to you and say, prove to me that this is a behema. Maybe it's a chaya. And that's, in fact, the way that we paskin, because, again, a motzi mechavero alav araya. So you have to just figure out whether you're dealing with a monetary area or dealing with a ritual area, dealing with an isser or dealing with mamonos, and that will give you the key to understanding the koi. Tomorrow, God willing, we're going to pick it up back with the regular topic of bikurim. Again, the way that we got onto this is by talking about how bikurim are parallel to truma on the one hand, with kachim on the other hand. And so now we went through all these examples of how koi is parallel to behema, parallel to chaya. Remember, they used to learn the Mishnayos by heart, so it was a very logical thing for them to do. This would be an easy mnemonic. That's how you get into these topics to begin with. When you're learning things by heart, you're always looking for mnemonics. Even though this doesn't have anything to do with bikurim, it was a very natural thing for Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi to place here. And because of the way that they studied Mishnayos, they weren't studying it from text. They were studying Baal Pe, Rabbi